Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Samach Daled. We will be Ezra Hashemiz Baruch begin on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Ketzad Yorad. A very important element in halacha to discuss whenever we speak about tumah is the halacha of Safak tumah brishus hayachid, Safak tumah brishus harabim. As we've learned that we're going to learn extensively in Masechta Soita Mitzvah Shem. The halacha is when there's a suffix, if somebody is tamei or not, b'shus hayachid, we are machmer, and b'shus harabim, we're mekel. And the reason for that distinction is because we learn it from the halachas of a soita. The halacha is if a husband warns his wife not to be remain secluded with a certain man, and she remains secluded with him, the halacha is that once he had warned her, and she had done so anyway. The halacha is that she's not allowed to have relations with him anymore until she goes through the soita procedure. The procedures of verifying if she is or isn't a soita. However, if that were the case if they were speaking in Rishus HaRabim, so would not be the halacha. So we see that the halacha distinguishes between a Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim as far as Hilchus Tumas is concerned. But even though we've just learned that Chazal, that Halach is that Safak Tumah Rishus HaYochid is Tamei, there are a number of cases where the Halach is that even though it's a Safak Tumah Rishus HaYochid, Chazal were lenient. One of them is when the Tumah is floating on top of the water and it's not on the ground. That case, the halach is that even though it's a Safak Tumah, we're mekel. The Brisk Rav analyzes this halacha and tries to understand how do we approach this halacha. Is this halacha to be understood that even though normally, as we just explained, the halacha is Safak Tumah Rishus HaYochid is Tamei. By Safak Tumah Tzofer, the halacha is that rule wasn't said. Or that the halacha is that we are always lenient when the Tumah is floating. The Nafka Mina will be when we'll have a chazaka that proves that there is Tumah. If we say there's a special rule in Rishus HaYochid, so then we would not be able to be lenient. But if we're going to say that in general, the halacha is that when there's a Safak Tumah, which is floating, even if there are grounds to be machmer, Chazal teaches we're mekel, then even in Rishus HaRabim would be mekel. So he says, if we look in the Rambam, in Hilchus Naziris, Perek Vav Halacha Chav, he says that the reason that by a nazir, if he has a suffix by tumah with something where if he came in contact with a mace that was floating on the water, he would be tumah. And the reason, explains the Rambam, is because there's a suffix, there's a cheskas tumah. So we see that this is a special rule in Rishus HaYochid, not that that's a general rule to be followed. So we learned in our Mishnah that we learned in the previous year on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph that a nazir that came in contact with Tumas Tahaim, as we explained in the previous year, the definition of Tumas Tahaim is a Tumah that isn't known to anybody, and he only becomes aware of that Tumah. He only becomes aware of that Tumah after he had the Giluach, after he went through the Giluach process of Naziris. That Tumah is not considered a case that he's a nazir that became Tameh. And as the Mishnah explained, so what is the case? That the nazir went to a mikveh, and then after he went to the mikveh, it was discovered that there's a mace floating on top of the water. That's not considered a Tumas Tahaim. Because since that mace is very visible, that's not considered Tumas Tahaim. Says the Gemara now, that even though the Mishnah that we learned says that when a mace is found floating on the water, the Nazir is going to become Tamei, as the halacha, as we said in the previous, in our beginning of our shiur today, because that would be a perfect example of Safek Tumar B'Shus HaYachad. But he says that if it was a sheretz that was found floating on top of the water, then the Nazir would not be Tamei. Because, as we said also in our introductory remarks, when there's a sheretz floating on top of water, even if it's in the Rishus HaYachid, Chazal were Mekel. And says the Gemara, to begin, Tzofa, when the Tumah is floating on water, and there's a suffix, there's a question, if the person came in contact with that sheretz, the halach is that the person is not Tamei. Even though this took place in Rishus HaYachid, that the halach is by Rishus HaYachid, we're normally machmer by Safek Tumah. Here we're going to be lenient with this situation. However, if the question was, this is only halacha regarding sheretz, regarding tumas oil, that means if there was a mace floating in a mikvah, in a body of water, and that body of water is in the Rishus HaYachid, and we don't know if the person was exposed to that tumah or not, there halacha is that Safek Tumas Mace, there is no rule that a Safek Tumas Mace that's on water with Mekel. There halacha is with Machma. Says, so now we can understand our Mishnah, where the Nazir entered a mikveh where there was a piece of a mace floating on top of the water. And since there was a piece of the mace floating on top of the water, and it's taking place in the Rishus HaYachid, the halacha is with Machmer. The Tanya, as the Brice teaches us, Safek Tumah Tzofa, if there's Tumah floating on top of a body of water, and there's a question if the person came in contact with that mace or not, says the Gemara, Bain Kalim, whether it's floating on a vessel, Bain Karka, whether it's floating in water that's in a vessel, whether it's floating in water that's over the ground, and all these cases, Tahira. If Shimon Aimer, the Kalim Tameya, if this water is in a vessel and there's the sheretz that's floating on top of it, there we're Machmer, if it's in Rishus HaYachid, because of the rule of Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid. If it's Bekarka, that if it's on the ground, then Tahira. In other words, what Rav Shimon is saying is that this special halacha of Tumah that's Tzofa Agabe Mayim is only said, which is a special new rule that was introduced in our shiur today, says Rav Shimon, was only said when the water is on karka. But what, it's not on the karka when it's in a keli, this halacha was actually not stated under those circumstances. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. What is the halacha if we have a mace that's floating on water, but not in water that's in oil? So the issue here is not an issue of tumas oil, because this body of water is not in a house. It's not in an oil. It's an open area. Will we say that a mace that sofa al gabi mayim will have the halacha like a sheretz? Or will we say that this special halacha that we're learning in our shiur today was only said by a sheretz and not by a mace? And the argument could be that the tumah of a mace, of a piece of a mace floating in an open area where there's no tumas oil, is a tumas maga, because the person comes in contact with the mace. And the sheretz is also, the tumah is a tumas sheretz. And therefore, the tumah is because of contact. So how do we understand the special rule that we're learning in today's shiur? Is it a halacha that's stated regarding sheretz exclusively, and a mace is not a sheretz? Or is it a halacha that's said regarding tumas maga, that when there's a sofik tumas maga, shetzof al gabi amayim, even in Rosh Hashayachid, we're lenient? It's a machloikis, Rambam, and Tosfos. Tosfos takes the opinion that if it's a tumas maga, we could be lenient in all situations of a tumas maga. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that this dispensation that we're learning in our shir is strictly said by a sheretz and not by a mace, even the type of tumah, which is a tumas maga. So, says the Gemara, in analyzing the machloikas that we just learned between the Tanakhama of Shimon, says the Gemara, my time of the Tanakhama, what is the basis of the Tanakhama's opinion? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. We find psukim that seem to contradict each other. Siv, as the pasuk says, Al tashakshos nafshasechem b'chol asheretz asheretz. The pasuk seems to say, b'chol makam shu sheretz. Wherever the sheretz is found, the halacha is, we have to be machma. The ksiv, b'chol makam shu sheretz. The ksiv, but there's another pasuk that says, v'zalachem atamei b'sheretz hasheretz al oretz. From here it seems that the tumas sheretz only applies when it's al oretz. How do we reconcile these psukim? Vademaka tamei. If a person knows that he touched the sheretz, it doesn't make a difference where the sheretz is. Whether it's on the earth or on water, that person will be tamei. But sofik ma'akai tara, if the person is not certain that he came in contact with the sheretz, so then only when it was sheretz hasheretz al oretz, when the sheretz is found on the ground, there, if it's a sofik tuma brushos hayochid, we're going to be machmer. But if it's a sofik tuma, if it's a sofik, if you came in contact with the sheretz, when the sheretz was on water, then you will be tahar. That now, the pasuk, this is the opinion of Tanakhama, does not differentiate how the sheretz is floating in the water, on the water. If it's floating directly on the water, or is it floating because it's in a clear that's on the water? And therefore, from here, says the Tanakhama, the distinction that Rav Shimon attempted to make says the halacha doesn't apply. There's a very fundamental issue that needs to be discussed. Here, we're learning that this halacha, the Tanakhama certainly, as we just learned, is basing his opinion on what it says, how to understand the pasuk. So the question that needs to be analyzed, is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? The pashup shot in this Gemara, and the Tosfos Yontov makes that point, is that this is a din d'oraisa. Because we're learning this pasuk, we're learning this halacha, based on how to understand these psukim. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon said that disagreed. Rav Shimon disagreed and said there's a difference if the sheretz is floating directly on the water or if the sheretz is floating in a keli that's on the water. Where did he take that distinction from? My Tama, what is the basis of Rav Shimon's differentiation? Am Ulek Siv, the pasuk says, Ach Mayon, Ubar Mikamayim Yitar, that from here we see that anything that's found in a body of water is tar. Ksiv, and the pasuk says, Tame Yitma, that he should be Tame under all circumstances. How do we understand this pasuk? Okay, Tzat, Tzofa Bekelim, if it's in a vessel, not directly underwater, then the halacha is, that's even though it's a sofik, but it's we're going to apply the halacha, that sofik Tame Rishos HaYachid is Tame. But when it's Bekarka, when it's on the karka, it's Tame. And I saw the Rishonim explain that once it's in the keli, it's considered that the tumah, the sheretz that's over here, has a place. And since it has a place, therefore we can't just ignore that sheretz. When it's floating directly on the water,
So then it's not really considered kavua. It's not considered that it's firmly in a place. And since under those circumstances it's not considered as if it's firmly in a place, that's why the Torah or the Rabbanim were more makel. Torah Rabbanim. So the Gemara talks about these halachas of tuma that's tsofa, a sheretz that's floating. Torah Rabbanim kala nitlan v'anigorin. Anytime if you held a sheretz in your hand, and you took it over water, then the halacha is, and this question is, did somebody come in contact with that sheretz? We don't have the halacha that we're learning that when a sheretz is floating. Rather, in all these cases, if it took place when it's in a rishus hayachid, sveik and tamei, because we don't look at it as a situation of floating. Rather, m'nei shen k'menachem. Since the sheretz is in a person's hand, once something is considered, once something in somebody's hand, then the halacha is considered as if the sheretz is not floating. When it's rokim, but if somebody threw the sheretz, and now there's a question, did that sheretz touch somebody? And therefore, if it was in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that person would be tamei. Or we don't know if that sheretz touched somebody. There, it's considered like a situation of tzofa, and it's tahor. Chutz, mekrezayis menameis, the halacha of a kezayis menameis, v'amala pnei tumah. There, the halacha is, these are both situations of tumas oil. And as we said in the beginning of the shir, even though we have the special dispensation by tumas sheretz, shetzofa, that's floating, that in all cases, the halacha is that that's only by sheretz, not by tumas oil. And what it means here, chutz mekazayis, is the amal apnei tumah. The Rishonim explain are two different examples of tumas oil. One is a case if the person was mal on top of the kazayis in a mace, where a person was over that mace, or the other case is where the tumah is in place. And the question is, was the person under the tumah? And the halacha in both of these cases is that this special dispensation would not apply. Says the Gemara, the kol tamei says shematama mal mata. Whenever we have a type of a tumah that the tumah goes up and down, lasuya zava v'zava, which means to talk about tumah zav, that the halacha is that if a zav causes something to be moved, that means if there's a person who's a zav or a zava who are a very serious tumah, and they're holding a stick, and with the stick they move something, that object, even though it did not come in direct contact with the zav, becomes tameh. Or if a person who's tahor moves a zav, even though that person who moved the zav is not touching the zav, that becomes tameh. Moreover, anything that's on top of a zav or anything that is below a zav, for example, if we have 10 mattresses and a zav is laying on top of the top mattresses, all the mattresses below that zav become tamei, with tumas mishka v'mayisav, that all of them are tamei. Not only do they become tamei, but they actually all become an avatuma. The only time there's a dispensation is if the zav is sitting on lay or laying on something which was not meant to sit on lay on. But where, as the Gemara often says, it's a situation where the Zav is on top of something, and we say to the Zav, Amoid v'nasa malachteinu. The object that you're sitting on is not meant for sitting on. The object that you're laying on is not meant for laying on. Then there's no Tumas Mishka v'moyshev. But otherwise, there's a halacha of Tumas Mishka v'moyshev, and everything becomes Tumi with Tumas Avatumah. So the Gemara is saying that since this is a very unique type of tumah, this is a very, very unique type of tumah, and by this very unique type of tumah, we don't have the halacha that we've been learning in our shiur today, that if somebody has a question, if he came in contact with that tumah, it's suffer when it's floating, that we should be lenient. Actually there, if it happens, b'shus hayochid, as we began our shiur, whenever you have a suffer tumah b'shus hayochid, we have to be machmer, we'll be machmer in such a situation. So now ask the Gemara. By Rabbi Bachama, mace b'keli, you have a mace, you have a kezias, a mace, in a keli, the kli tzofa pnei mayim, and the water, and the keli is floating in the water. And the question is, did the person come in contact with that keli? Mahu. How would we look at this situation? And as the Rishonim point out, that this obviously took place in a Rishus HaYochid, because if it took place in Rishus HaRabim, in a Rishus HaRabim were always machmer. Moreover, a very important point to make, the definition of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, as far as Hilchus Tumah, is not synonymous with the definition of Hilchus Tumah, Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim when we speak about Hilchus Shabbos. In fact, the Rishonim make a very interesting point. They say, when we speak about a body of water on Shabbos, there's a new type of Rishus that typically that body of water is called, and that's a karmus. Certainly, when we speak about Hilchus Tumah and Tahara, there is no concept of a karmus. Another question here is, Bosa Kliyas Linen, do we look at the Tumah as if it's, do we look at the Tumah in as it's in a vessel, or Bosa Mayas Linen? Or do we look as if it's underwater because the keli is in a floating on the top of the water? So the question is that how are we going to look at this situation? Im tim tzolayma basa kliyas linen. If we're going to say that we look at the keli as if the tum is in the keli, the question is when we have a mace al gabi sheretz, we have a kezias of a mace that's on top of a sheretz, and the sheretz is floating on water. Mahu. How do we look at this? Kim dahai. Certainly, if we look at the sheretz, the tumah of the sheretz is a tumah shiv, it's tumas erev. If somebody comes in contact with a keli, if somebody comes in contact with a sheretz, the halacha says, go to the mikvah and have hair of shemesh, and you will be tahor. For high, but if somebody comes in contact with a mace, we know that he becomes tummy tummy shiva. He's going to be tummy for at least 7 days. That, as we've learned so many times in a masechta, is the amount of time necessary for him to have the mechatos sprinkled on him and become tar. So do we say that since these are two very different objects, as far as the halacha of tum is concerned, command the machs of Tumah b'klei damya, will we view this as if the tumah is on a keli, the sheretz is like the keli for the mace? Adilma tumah smichtahi, it's considered one piece of tumah. Says the Gemara, Vim tim tzlam command the muchs of tumah b'klei damya, that the halacha will view this as if the tumah is in a keli and that's floating on the water, because since the sheretz and the mace have different halachas, and therefore, the halacha is with tamei vadai. If there's a suffix, if somebody came in contact with this tumah, it will be a situation of suffix tumah rishus hayochid. And the halacha is that suffix tumah rishus hayochid we're machmer. What will be the halacha? Asked the Gemara. Where we have sheretz al gabi nevela. We have sheretz on top of a nevela. The nevela, and the nevela is what's floating in the water. Mahu. What will be the halacha then? And why is this a new question? Says the Gemara, even the Tavayu Tumas Erin Hinu. These are both same level of Tumah. If somebody comes in contact, as we just said, with a Sheretz, goes to the mikvah, and has Herav Shemesh. If somebody comes in contact with a Nevela, goes to the mikvah, and has Herav Shemesh. So therefore, we'll look at this as one piece of Tumah, and the halacha of Tzofa will apply. Or Dilma, they have different halachas. Hai kezayis vai kadasha. The sheer tumah by a nevela is a kezayis. The sheer tumah by a sheretz is a kadasha. And because they have different shiurim, they're considered different. So now, Ask the Gemara. Sheretz or Gabi Sheretz? We have one Sheretz on top of another Sheretz. Now ask the Gemara, how does the Halacha look at that? Here we have, obviously, both Tumas have the equivalent Halacha. Hani Vadi Chadishininu. Both Tumas have the same Halacha, and therefore it should be considered one piece of Sheretz. Adumah, the upper Sheretz is not floating directly on the water. The upper Sheretz is floating on another Sheretz. So Kivan the Mifsukim Adadi, since they're separated from each other, Loi, it's not considered as if it's as a case of a Sheretz floating on water that comes with the special leniencies that we've been discussing in today's shiur. Vintem Tzolaymer, and continues the Gemara, that we're going to say that Sheretz Agabi Sheretz, Kivan the Mifsukim Adadi, since the upper Sheretz is not directly on top of the water, command. And therefore, the halacha views it. Command the melacha b'keli dami sheretz al gabi nevelish namucha. How will we look at a situation where the sheretz is floating on top of a dissolved piece of nevela mahu? How does the halacha look at that situation? And the Gemara explains the question. Kivan the namucha, since the nevela that the sheretz is on top of is dissolved. So then the halacha, as we said a moment ago, the halacha of Tumas Sheretz and the halacha of Tumas Nevela are not identical. Tumas Sheretz is Kadasha. Tumas Nevela is a Kazayas. But here, since the Nevela is dissolved, so it's like the Sheretz is directly on top of the water. Or Duma, at the end of the day, Hai Uchla, who the nevela is still food, and therefore, since it's food, since that it could be eaten, it's not the same. It doesn't get the rule of mayim, and since it doesn't have the rule of mayim, it will be considered a hefsik between the sheretz and the water. Then Tim Tzolaima says the Gemara Uchlahu that since the nevela that's dissolved is at the end of the day a food. So therefore, the halacha is that we won't view this as a sheretz that's floating on water. What would be the halacha if the sheretz is floating on gabi shechva zera? Is the shechva zera considered like a food, and therefore it's going to be a chatzitza between the sheretz and the water, or not? Vimtim tzloimer, kivin demis akra, the way shechva zera, the way semen exits a body, it's not part of the body. It's just produced and then taken out of the body. Because it's not naturally part of somebody's body. It's not like meiriglayim, like water, therefore, which is part of the body. It's something that is produced by the body and then expelled by the body. That makes it different than a regular mashka. What would be the halacha sheretz al gabei meichatos? We have a sheretz on top of water, which is not pure water. There's something mixed into the water. Meichatos sofel gabei mayim. How will the halacha look at that situation? Do we say that since it's not called water, that's the way Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, since it's not called water, it's called meichatos. So meichatos and mayim are not the same. And since Meichatos and Mayim are not the same, this halacha that we're learning throughout our shir was only said by Mayim. Meichatos, not pure water, is not water. Or do we say, the fact that there's something mixed into the water doesn't mean that it's not water. And therefore, it's really going to be considered that the sheretz is sitting on top of water, and lo yadinan, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. The Achrayim make an interesting observation. The same type of questions that we've been learning in this shiur is also discussed in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos discusses where there's a nut in a container, and that container is floating on top of the water. Now we know that the most fundamental halacha in carrying on Shabbos to be chayy for carrying on Shabbos, you have to have an akira and an hanocha. You have to lift something up from a stationary position, and that's the akira, and then hanocha, place it on a stationary position. Something that's floating on water is not considered stationary. And therefore, if somebody makes an akira from something that's floating on water, it's not considered the midaraisa he did an akira. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, discusses if something is in a container and you removed it from the container which is floating on the water. Here, the question is that considered you made an akira? There, the Gemara says, if you look at the keli is not considered as if it's stationary. Do we look in what's inside? That is stationary. In our Gemara, we just say the opposite. In our Gemara, we said that if you have a sheretz on a keli, do we look at the keli as if it's in the keli and the keli is considered stationary, or do we look at the water? So we have a different principle driving the two Gemaras. So the Derech HaShroish explains that the halacha of hanocha and the halacha of sheret sof al gamemayim are very different halachas. The halacha of akira hanocha and hilchos Shabbos says that you have to take or put on a stationary area. Water is not stationary. And the question is, do we look at the keli and the keli is not stationary? Or do we look what's in the keli and that is stationary? Here, we're talking about the halachas of tumah. The halacha, there's a new din in hilchos tumah, that mayim, that something that's floating on the water, has a special halacha. The issue is not if it's stationary or floating. The issue is this object considered as if it's on the water or it's not? And therefore, since the consideration or the driving factor is very different, what the Gemara here says and what the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says do not travel together in any way. Says, we learned in our Mishnah, and the Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, that if the Nazir becomes aware after he took the haircut that he was exposed to Tumas Tahaim, the halacha is it doesn't affect his Naziris. Amar Rav Hamnuna, to which Rav Hamnuna comments, Nazir v'Oisa Pesach, a Nazir that, or somebody who's going to bring Pesach Rishon, and the halacha is, and then they became Tamei, Holcha b'kevah tohim, they became tamei with tevah tohim b'shvi shalhem. That means we had these individuals that were tamei, and they became tar by having hazar shlishi v'shvi, and then on the seventh day they were exposed to tumas tohim, but it was that didn't happen until the nazir had his haircut, and now they're considered tohirim. It doesn't mean that the Nazir doesn't lose the days of his Naziris. The Korban Pesach, you don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. My Tama, the Loi Alima Tumas Tahaim, since the Tumah that they were exposed to was a Tumas Tahaim, a Loi Alima Tumas Tahaim Mister. Tumas Tahaim does not have the halachic ability to make them be considered Tame. Masav Rava asks Rava, we learned in the Mishnah, Yorad, if a nazir went to the mikveh, litar mitumas meis, the nazir became tummy with tumas meis. And then after he finishes the tahara process, he finished the tahara process, and he took a haircut, and he went into the mikveh that way. Tummy, daloch, and then he discovers there was a meis there. Daloch is, he's tummy. Shecheskas tummy. Since daloch, the halacha of Tumas Tahaim was only said by the individual as a cheskas tahara. But if a person does not have, as we learned at the end of our Mishnah, a cheskas tahara, if the individual that we're speaking about is an individual that has a cheskas tuma, then the halacha is that we cannot be lenient. So the Gemara's question is, Rava's question is, that in our Mishnah we're learning that our Mishnah we're learning that Cheskas Tumah prevails. And here we learned that we don't take the Cheskas Tuma. Amalei, Maidira Lach Menazer Shemachas Taglachas. There's a difference between the Nazar that was speaking in our Mishnah, who did not yet take a haircut, and therefore his Cheskas Tuma prevails, and even though it was a Tumas Tahoim, he will be Tamei, whereas the case that Rav Hamnuna spoke about, that the person went to the mikveh, the person already took the haircut, so he doesn't have the Cheskas Tuma, and since he doesn't have the Cheskas Tuma, and the Tuma that he was exposed to was a Tumas Tahoim, therefore in such a situation, we can be lenient. Amalei Rava, so Rava asks, Af Anam Medina Lach, says Rava to Rav Nun, Ach Medina Lach, but Oysa Pesach, the Lai Mechusav Lai Klum. That this distinction that you just said is correct. And since we're speaking about a person that already went to the mikveh and already took his haircut, so therefore they have a Cheskas Tahara. Amalei Abaya, says Abaya to Rava, why are you saying that I have a Cheskas Tahara? They ought not to be considered that they have a Cheskas Tahara, because as we said before, even a person who did everything he was supposed to do, he went to the mikveh and he had the haircut, the halacha is, he still needs Harav Shemesh. And until he has the Harav Shemesh, until the day is over, the halacha is that they considered Tamei. So why are we saying that they have a Cheskas Tahara? Amalei, so Rav replies to Abaya, the fact that they have to wait for Harav Shemesh is not a reason that they don't have a Cheskas Tahara. Because the Cheskas Tahara is only prevented from kicking in when there's something that you have to do still. But Shimsha, the sun setting, Memela Arva, is going to happen anyway. And something which is going to happen anyway, and yes, you have to wait till it happens, but since it's certainly going to happen, that's not considered a issue as far as the Cheskas Tahara is concerned. Vaf Abaya Hadabe. And says the Gemara, that ultimately, Abaya also agreed that Rav is correct, and if the person had the haircut and went to the mikveh, even though the halacha requires that he has to have Harav Shemesh, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a Cheskas Tahara. And the Gemara proves it from the halacha of a Yoledes. The halacha is that a woman, and I emphasize that this is the halacha midaraisa, if she has a boy, she's tamei no matter what for the first 7 days, and she's tar for the next 33 days, and then after the 40th day, she's going to bring a carbon. That's if she had a boy. If the woman had a girl, the halacha is that for the first 14 days, she's tamei no matter what, even if she's not expelling dam, she's going to be tamei. For the next 66 days, again, midaraisa, she's tar, even if she is bleeding. And then after 80 days, she has to bring the karbanos of yoledes. The Torah, as the Gemara Masech the Krisis, Daf Tes Amud Beis teaches us, the Torah says, Zois Torah yoledes, a woman could bring one carbon for many pregnancies. What does that mean? The Gemara explains that a woman could become pregnant. However, a child that is miscarried before 40 days from when the pregnancy commenced is not considered a child. So now the halacha is, says the Gemara, that a woman had a baby girl, and then she became pregnant during those 80 days, and then she miscarried. So all of this obviously explained, all the Rishonim, the Meiri here explains this, must be by a girl, because by a boy, the entire duration is only 40 days. So she couldn't have become pregnant and miscarried a 40-day-old fetus. It's only possible by a girl. So, as I said, the Gemara over there, Masech the Krisis, the Mishnah, the Gemara, what does that mean? A woman had a baby, a woman had a baby, and then she miscarried during those 81 days after having the girl. And then she miscarried again. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she brings one carbon for the first birth and for the first miscarriage, because that miscarriage took place during the 80 days of the first experience. But it won't help if she'll have another miscarriage, because that next miscarriage would take place after the first 80 days. And since it's not within the first 80 days, she would have to bring another carbon for that miscarriage. The Chachamim say that if every miscarriage took place within 80 days of the previous experience, then the halacha is it's all considered one long extension. And the pasuk that says Zois Tyrus Hayoledes, that one carbon is adequate, will be applicable. The Gemara there in Masechta Krisis explains the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the carbon is really brought because of the first birth that this woman had. The second, the miscarriage that she had after that birth, is considered extension of that birth. But since the third experience, or the second miscarriage, isn't within the first 81 days of the first of the birth, so that's not considered, that's within the 80 days, you have to bring a new carbon. The Chum say that since everything happened within 80 days, the halacha is that what is driving the carbon is not the first birth. It's the miscarriage that took place after the birth. And since the next miscarriage is within 80 days of the first miscarriage, one carbon would be adequate. So the Gemara focuses on that halacha. The Tanya, if the woman had a miscarriage, Yoy Melois, if she had a miscarriage within the days of the 80 days of her first birth, Tavi, then she brings another carbon. But that Yoy Melois, if it happened on the 81st day, Taich Melois, but if it happened within the 81 days, Loy Tavi. Yoch Loy Tavi, Alei de Shlofnei Melois, continues the Braisa. You would not bring another carbon on a birth that took place within the 80 days of the first birth. Avotavi alei de shlach malois, that even if the next miscarriage took place within 80 of the first miscarriage, tamaloima b'malois tar mei tahara, b'yoy malois tavi, b'toich malois, if anything happened within those 80 days, the opinion of the chachamim, loy tavi. V'amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana, in explaining this braisa, says, Shani Hocha, that the reason, if the second miscarriage took place within the 80 days of the first miscarriage, this is all considered connected, because Mechasra Karbon, the first miscarriage and the first birth, she hasn't brought a karbon for. And since not only hasn't she brought a karbon, she couldn't bring a karbon yet, because she can't bring a karbon until 80 days pass. So it's all considered one long extension. But ask the Gemara, Hasam Nami, even in the case where she had the miscarriage after day 80, but she still has to go to the mikveh and has to have Harif Shemesh. So why is it not? Why did we begin by quoting the Braisa that if the miscarriage took place after the 80 days, it then she brings a separate carbon? But she still it still should be considered a continuation of the first set of 80 days until she has Harif Shemesh for those days. What is the answer? Why is that not considered? Why that is not a consideration? Because Amalei Shimshim Emela Arva, the fact that she didn't yet have Harif Shemesh is not considered halachically significant. Why is it not considered halachically significant? Because as we said a few moments ago, the Harif Shemesh happens automatically. And therefore, once she went to the mikveh on the 81st day, once the 81st day comes, the halacha is that this is considered a new set of days,
And if she has a miscarriage, then from then and on, even though she's missing Harav Shemesh, it wouldn't be considered a continuation of the original 80 days. Clearly indicating that Abaya now subscribes to the concept of Harav Shemesh happens automatically, and anything that happens automatically is not considered halachically significant.